Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 12. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 12. Reading verses 28 to 31. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And our subject this morning is true Christianity. True Christianity. In these words before us, in these verses, well, it is very clear to see what defines true Christianity. And of course, it is important for each and every one of us to want to be true Christians. To want to be true Christians. I fear in this day and age that there are many people who say that they are Christians, but they are not true Christians. They are nominal Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they are not actually true Christians, and that is because they do not actually know what true Christianity is. Perhaps they do not read the Word of God. Perhaps they do not examine themselves in the light of Scripture, and particularly in the verses that we will consider this morning. And it is so important in this day and age, because an accusation that we often hear from unbelievers is that Christians, well, they're so hypocritical. They don't want to be Christians. They don't want to hear the gospel message, because they know Christians, people who go to church, people who sing hymns and so on and say that they're Christian, but they're so hypocritical. They go to church, they say they're religious, but the rest of their lives do not match up with their profession. And this is a great charge brought against Christians. This is what keeps people from the faith. Because they see these Christians and they say, well, they're all hypocrites. They say one thing, I'm a good Christian, but they do another. And that's because they're not true Christians. So we must, for the sake of the glory of God and to honor Him, we must all, each one, examine ourselves from time to time and ask ourselves, am I indeed a true Christian? And well, these words, they will help us very much to think about these things. And these words are a response to a question that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ by a scribe. And what's a scribe, some will ask? Well, a scribe was somebody who was an expert in the study of the law of Moses, an expert in the Torah. And this scribe, well, he comes to the Lord with a question about the law of Moses. And, well, the question is in verse 28 at the end of that verse, which is the first commandment of all? That's the question he asked the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the most important commandment to keep? The one that I really need to keep in order for me to be right with God? That's really the thrust of his question. And look at how the Lord answers him. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" Well, those words, they are known as the Shema. The Shema, and they are words that are used to open up worship in the Jewish synagogues. They've been used for many years in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and still even now, if you go to a Jewish synagogue, you will still hear the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And of course, we believe these things as Christians. It's not just simply a Jewish belief. We believe that the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God. Now, many people will say to Christians, "Ah, but you believe in the Trinity. Doesn't that mean that you believe in three gods?" No, of course not. We don't believe in three gods. Yes, we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that's not three gods. There's one God, but within the Godhead, within the one Godhead, there are three persons. The one being of God shared by three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't believe in three gods. There is but one God. And so we agree. We are monotheists. We do not believe in a plurality of gods, and we have to affirm this from time to time. But this is where true religion starts. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ mentions these things. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This is what true religion is, true Christianity. We believe there's only one God. A true Christian, he looks at all the other religions, and he knows that they are false religions. He knows that there is no other God other than the true God. You cannot be a Christian and a Buddhist, for example. You can't be a Christian and a Hindu. You can't be a Christian and a Sikh, and you love all those gods, and you acknowledge those gods. No, that's not true Christianity. True Christianity says there is only one God. Only one God. Only one God who reigns supreme in heaven. Only one God who has created heaven and earth. One God who has created all of us. We're not created by many gods. Of course not. It's not that the Africans are created by one God and the Europeans are created by another God. No, we're all created by one God. And we owe our lives to him. And we have to give an account to just one God. Not many gods. There's just one God. So this is where it all starts. What is true religion? This man has asked him, essentially. And this is where it starts. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That is the stand we make as Christians. We don't pay heed to the other religions, as so many so-called Christians are doing. Oh, yes, there's merit in this religion. There's merit in that religion. No. There is only one true religion. There's only one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Only one God with whom we have to do. Only one God to whom we must give an account of our lives. But it's not enough to just simply believe in God. It's not enough simply to believe that there's only one God. There must be something else that we understand. Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." It's not simply enough to believe in this God. We must love God. We must love God. That is the essential ingredient, if you were. To be a true Christian, it's not just simply to believe that God is there. Do you actually love God? And well, what does it mean to love God? Well, these words put it to us very clearly. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Well, let's start with that. With all thy heart. Well, of course, when we think of love, when we think of loving somebody, we always think of the heart. The heart is the seat of the affections. This is where our love comes from. This is how our love flows forth, from the heart. And one of the ways, let me put it to you this morning, one of the ways in which we know that a person loves somebody is that they speak about that person. They speak about that person. You know, if somebody, a husband, loves his wife, he will speak about his wife. He won't go for days and weeks and months without ever speaking about his wife. If he does, you wonder if he does love his wife. But if he loves his wife, or if a wife loves her husband, she will speak. Or perhaps a better example would be if a parent loves their child. Have you ever met a parent who couldn't help but speak about their children? about what they're like, about their character, about their attributes, about what they've done. A parent loves the child. They can't help but speak about the child. That's how you know that they love this person. Or somebody who loves God with all their heart, they will speak about God, of course. They can't help but speak about God, about what he's like, about what he's done for them, about how he's worked in their lives. They won't keep silent. A Christian, you meet these Christians, they never talk about God. They're embarrassed to say anything about God at all, almost ashamed. Is that somebody who loves God? Really? We have to examine ourselves. Somebody who loves God, they will desire to speak about the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So if your heart is full of God, you will want to speak of God and tell other people about him, tell about his almighty power, about his faithfulness, about how he's a merciful God, and about all the things that he's done for you in his life. That is true Christianity. And not just love God, but love God's people. If we just jump on to verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we love God, we will love our neighbors, we will love other Christian people. We'll love being in the Lord's house. It won't be a chore to come to church. We love to be in church. This is our family. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not a group of strangers. We love one another. And not just Christian people. Love thy neighbor. Thy neighbor is anybody really who comes into our lives. Those whom we live alongside. Those whom we work alongside. We're even commanded to love our enemies in the scriptures. So are we like that? Are we loving people? Or are we people, we look in our lives and, we have lots of strained relationships. We have lots of broken relationships. We have rows with people. We are unforgiving. We're cruel to people. We're unkind. Is that us? Well then, dear friends, we have to examine ourselves. Are we true Christians? Because true Christians, well, we will be loving people, we will love God with all our heart, and we will love our neighbors as ourselves. This is what it is, and we must begin to examine ourselves in such a way. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Love the Lord with all our hearts and our soul. Well, by the way, this is what our souls have been made for. This is why God gave us a soul. Each and every one of us has a soul. Why do we have a soul? Well, it is for us to know God. It's for us to commune with God. It's for us to pray to God. That's why we've been given souls, so that we will know him. Without God, our souls are empty. There will always be an emptiness in our souls without God. I think back to my life as an unsaved person, as an unbeliever. I always tried to fill my soul with other things. I always tried to fulfill myself with other things, with movies, with music, with sports, with comedy, everything, just to try and fulfill my soul. But there was always that emptiness within me. No matter how much I tried to consume all those things, all these movies, all these laughter, all this going out and so on, there was always that emptiness in my soul. I couldn't work out why until I read the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us without God our souls will always be empty. It's only spiritual life that can fill the soul. Only God can fill the soul. Only his love, only his blessing. Only the Word of God. When we pray to God, our souls are being fed. Not this world. This world can't feed your soul. No music, no CD, no DVD, no game. That can't fill the soul at all. Without God, your souls will always be empty. Always that sense of emptiness, and you'll never be able to fill it. So, dear friends, look at these words. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This is what thy soul needs, the love of God within it. And all these things are so important. We must love the Lord our God with our souls and pray to him. And with all thy mind. Let's move on because time is brief this morning. All thy mind. Well, you know, in order to love God, you have to understand what he has done. You have to understand the gospel message truly and fully. You must understand it accurately. Now, again, I must say that many people who are Christians don't love God in the way that they ought to because they don't fully understand the gospel message. What is the gospel message? Well, some people think that to be made right with God, much like this scribe, we have to keep commandments. Our acceptance with God depends on us being good. That's how we get right with God. If I'm good, then God will like me. But that is not the way it is. The gospel is not about keeping commandments. The commandments that we read in the Word of God, these Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses, they don't show us how good we can be. They don't show us how good we can be. They show us, if I can put it this way, they show us how good we can't be. That's the commandments. Think of it in this way. The Ten Commandments are showing us how good we can't be. The standard is too high. You look at the commandments and you think to yourself, I can never be that good. I can never reach that standard. And that is what the law is designed to teach us. It doesn't show us what we can be. It shows us what we can't be. And we see the law and we say to ourselves, I can never do that. How else can I be saved? Well, then here is the gospel. We are saved freely. We are saved freely by grace. That is what it means to be saved by grace. Grace means that we are saved freely, not by keeping the law and then saying, God, aren't I good? No. We are saved by grace freely. Grace, well, essentially that means that love of God, that favor of God to those who don't deserve it. That's what grace is. We don't deserve the love of God. We're sinners. We've broken his laws. We can't keep his laws. We don't deserve the love of God. But what God has done is he's saved us. He's forgiven us freely. That is grace. That's the gospel. That's what separates the Christian faith from all the other religions. This is why we say all the other religions, they're not all the same. Every other religion, there's a measure of performance. How well you do. Are you good enough to be right with God? But not in the Christian faith. A Christian humbles himself before God and says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'll never earn my way to God. I have to be forgiven freely. I have to be a recipient of grace. Lord, be gracious unto me, a vile sinner. That's the difference. Do we understand this? Are we true Christians? Or do we have an inaccurate understanding? Salvation is by grace. This is true Christianity, and we must understand this with the mind. It's not just the heart, it's not just the soul, it's the mind. And you know, when you understand this with the mind, when you fully grasp this, then you'll begin to love God. When you fully understand what he has done and how you are saved, then you will love the Lord our God. But time is moving on. Let's go on to this fourth element here. All the heart, all the soul, all the mind. And there's a fourth element, with all thy strength. Well, essentially, this is speaking about repentance. You know, when we understand fully what the Lord has done for us, well, then we repent. We turn away from the world. With all our strength. There are so many temptations in this world. So many things to cut down Christians. So many attacks of Satan. But we resist these things with all our strength. We turn away from the world and we commit ourselves entirely to God. This is why we in this church, well, there are so many people in this church, they serve God tirelessly. So many loyal servants who give all their time and energy, all their strength to the Lord. Why do they do this? So many people marvel. How come in your church there are so many people who have given their whole lives to God, all their strength? Well, it's because we know and understand this is what Christ has done for us. Christ gave his life on the cross. Do we understand that? He gave everything for us on the cross. Well, we know what happened so well. He was betrayed, he was arrested, he was scourged, he was spat at, he was mocked, he went up on the cross. He took the punishment for our sin. He had never committed any sin, the sinless Son of God, but he took the punishment for our sin. He gave everything. He gave up his own spotless life for us. And a true Christian will say, if he's done that for me, I will do that for him. If he gave up himself, the Son of God, well, I will do that for him. I will give up everything. I will give all of my strength, all of my life to his service. That's a true Christian. That's true Christianity. All my strength. Dear friends, these are very challenging words even for myself, but we have to say them. They're in the Word of God. This is what true Christianity is, and we must examine ourselves in the light of them. But let's move on. Let's go down to verse 32, because it's very interesting how the scribe who's posed this question responds to it. Verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, answered wisely, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Well, the Lord Jesus in those words, well, he encourages this scribe. This scribe seems to agree with the Lord. He agrees with him. He says, this is the truth. You've said the truth. Well said, Lord. I agree with everything that you have put forth in your words. But mark you, and this is very important to note, on the one hand, this is encouragement. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far, you're beginning to understand. But at the same time, this is a warning. It's encouragement and it's a warning. Encouragement, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But the warning is, you're not in it yet. You're not actually in it. You're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're not actually in it. And dear friends, this is something we have to consider, because I am sure perhaps there are people even here present in this place, and they've agreed with everything I've said. Oh, well said, pastor. Well said, preacher. Yes, yes, I know all these things. Yes, a true Christian does love the Lord with all his heart and with all the soul and with all thy mind and so on. I agree with everything, but they don't actually do it themselves. You see, they agree with everything, but they haven't given their lives to God. They haven't given their hearts to God. They know that they should love God, but they don't. They know that they should pray, they should talk to others about the Lord, but they don't. They know that they should come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for all their sin, but they've never really done it. They know that they should do it, but they don't. Well, if there's anyone like that in here, well, maybe you're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're not actually in it. And dear friends, that's very serious. You know, the greatest tragedy in hell, the greatest tragedy in hell is not the suffering of the atheists, not the suffering of those who have rebelliously turned against God. They never deceived themselves. They rejected God in this life. They never had any hope of heaven. They've stubbornly refused to come to God. So that's not the greatest tragedy. They know they're going to hell. But the greatest tragedy in hell are those people who thought they were right with God, and they weren't. Those people who were happy with their church going, those people who were happy with their hymn singing, those people who agreed with everything that the pastor said, but they never actually believed it themselves. That's the greatest tragedy in hell. They were not far from the kingdom of God, but they never entered in. They never truly repented. They never gave themselves fully, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. They never wanted to do that. They left the church every week. Oh, I'm not going to do this. Let the preacher have his word. That's the greatest tragedy in hell. They weren't far, but they're never in. Dear friends, we have to examine ourselves. I say this out of love. I'm not having a go at you, out of love, because I don't want to see anybody in this church at the very end of time outside of the kingdom, not far from the kingdom, but still cut off eternally. Dear friends, let it not be said of anyone in this place, I wasn't far, but I'm not in the kingdom, and I have to suffer the consequences. These words are here to wake us up. Don't be a nominal Christian. That's the greatest tragedy in this world, in time, and in eternity. Be a true Christian. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus Christ and respond to them with your own hearts, with your own souls, and your mind, and your strength. These words are for our learning. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, we thank Thee for the Word of God. Lord, we know that these words are a challenge to each and every one of us, but Lord, we would rather hear the challenge and respond than wait until it is too late. Oh, dear Lord, work in every heart that is present here. Help us not simply to be content with being not far from the kingdom, but may we enter in this day, dear Lord. May we enter in. May we truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. May we put our faith in Him, that He has suffered and died for all our sin, and love Him for all that we are worth. We ask all these things in His name and for His sake. Amen.